Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 18 to 27. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first married, and when he died, left no children. And the second married her and died, leaving no children. And the third likewise. None of the seven left children. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Is not this the reason you are wrong, that you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the story about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living.' You are quite wrong." Our reflection for today. Within the context of our Catholic faith, we tend to take the doctrine of the resurrection almost for granted. It's been around for 2,000 years or more. It's good, therefore, to have a reading like this one from Mark's Gospel, which reminds us, among other things, of how long it took and how difficult it must have been for this doctrine to take root in the Jewish tradition and to become generally accepted. Immortality, as we think of it, and the resurrection, is not a prominent theme in the Old Testament. Indeed, one has to look hard to find signs of it. For much of the Old Testament period, people believed that they lived on in their children who bore their name. And the Semites, of course, are the people of the name. The Hebrew word Shem is the Hebrew word for Semite. Notions of immortality only started to develop, we think, after the disaster of the exile, and probably as a result of Persian and Greek influences. As one can imagine, it met with stiff resistance from quarters of the society who felt that loyalty to the tradition was paramount. The Sadducees in Mark's Gospel passage for today belonged to a group who resisted this new doctrine, and we must presume they did it out of commitment to the tradition that had been handed down to them, and which they believed must be kept unsullied. Jesus' response to them shows that he respects their integrity and their loyalty. He does not condemn or ridicule, but invites them to look at Scripture from another angle, in the hope that this will enable them to see that resurrection does not mean the rupture or rejection of their beliefs, but rather their fulfillment. When we think about it, we can become so focused on something in our understanding of the faith that it prevents us from seeing the larger picture and the overall dynamism that is the life of faith. We can do this in all honesty and integrity, but still be wrong about something. We can never fully escape what they call the subjective factor. That is, it's always me or you reading this text, listening to this homily, viewing this or that reality. And being a limited human being, I just can't see things from every angle, and I can't get outside my skin, let alone get outside creation to gain an overall perspective on it. Now, the Bible claims to offer God's perspective on us and our creation, something that we can't really do by ourselves. Psalm 8, a lovely little psalm, makes this claim by pointing to the difference. Initially, the psalmist says that when I look at the heavens, the work of your hands, what is the human being? We're just a mere speck in the universe. But then the psalmist goes on to proclaim in faith, yet you have made us little less than gods. It's a faith perspective. But remember, the Bible itself is also a document that emerged in human time and space and in our human words. Hence, although it claims, and we believe the claim, to present the divine perspective on us and our world, it does so in a human and therefore limited way. Otherwise, how could we ever be able to read it and appreciate it? But this means it also develops in time and in a very human way. And it will revisit treasured, popular, or even difficult topics and look at them from another angle and use them in another creative way. A great example of this is how the motif of the married woman, married seven times, is used in quite a different way in our first reading from the book of Tobit to the way it is used in Mark's Gospel. If you read the text of Tobit, there is no inkling of the issue of resurrection in the version that occurs there. Another feature of the Bible, and it's an important one, is its honesty. And in all honesty, it records how the conviction about the resurrection took time to be accepted in faith and to be lived as an integral part of one's faith. As I said at the beginning of our reflection, we tend to take the resurrection for granted, and we may smile at the blinkered view of the Sadducees. But remember, Mark's Gospel was probably written not only to proclaim belief in Jesus and the resurrection, but to invite readers of any generation to try and see where they have the blinkers on. In our modern world, what do we fail to see and fail to act on? Is it our environment? Is it the wealth of the West versus the poor of so many of the rest? Is it my neighbour, whom I dismissed for some offence years ago and have never bothered to take the trouble to be reconciled? In another passage of Mark, Jesus urges his listeners to take the plank out of your own eye before you presume to remove the splinter from your neighbour's eye. This reflection was given by Mark O'Brien in Sydney for June the 6th, the 9th Wednesday, the 9th week of Ordinary Time.